Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon. Hi, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the master wealth builder, helping you to design a better quality of life in every area of your life. And this is hashtag I Am Riviera Beach podcast. After reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, I am still thoroughly convinced that we are all leaving the diamond mines in our own backyard as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us in our own hometown. Therefore, we are calling this podcast hashtag Riviera Beach, hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Our vision is to shed a bright light on the wonderful, smart, talented individuals from our great city, Riviera Beach, Florida. And today, we have another phenomenal show prepared for you. Our first guest is Dr. Johnson. She has worked in the nonprofit industry for over 22 years. Dr. Johnson currently serves as the treasurer of the Northwest Community Health Alliance Board, which is a collaboration with FAU and Tabernacle Learning Center to provide healthcare access for the uninsured and underinsured population of Northwest community. She is also the executive director of the Northwest Community Consortium, where she is in charge of the community revitalization activity. And then, of course, our second guest, is none other than Mr. Artie Williams, and he has many accomplishments in his life, and I'd like to suggest one that resonates for me as number one in being the support for this program and also for Dan Calloway. But in addition to that, he is also one of the founders of Mothers Against Murders Association, which was founded in memory of his nephew, Tory Donald Manuel. And with that, Dan Calloway, we can get the program started. Soon as
the person now behind the Youth Recreation Association and Mama, we have Dr. Johnson. Dr. Johnson, I need for you to let everybody know you are the first black lady who's elected as a council person in Haverhill. Give us a little update on your background and how you feel after about 6 or 7 months that you've been as elected official, and then I'll ask you some questions what I think that all commissioners need to be cognizant of right now. Dr. Johnson?
Good afternoon. I just want to say thank you for inviting me to come on to this show today. It is indeed a pleasure to come on and share with you who I am and what I am currently doing. Thank you for the introduction. I am Dr. Teresa Johnson, and I'm just thrilled to be on here. I ran for office in 2020 for the town of Haverhill, seat 5. I had never run for public office before, so it was a huge undertaking, unlike anything that I have ever done before. But, you know, God gave me the strategy. He put the people before me in my path that would assist me along the way. And I wouldn't take anything from that, because I learned so much, and I was able to get in front of a lot of people. It was during COVID, so everything was virtual. Every fundraiser was virtual, besides the canvassing that was knocking on doors every single Saturday. And so the campaign went forward for about 3 months, and the day came, I think it was March 11th, the voters came out, and they elected me as their first black female here in the town of Haverhill. And so I am here. We are a small town. Our population probably hovering around 2,300. And some of the things that I wanted to come in and improve on was the prosperity gap. We have, unfortunately, a large percentage of some of the residents are in poverty. And so I wanted to be able to come in and create partnerships that could bring jobs to this community, or that would make jobs available to this community, that would assist folks be able to earn an income, be able to afford housing, be able to afford health care, all those things that people need to make them whole and to be able to take care of their families. I also wanted to improve the quality of life. We are really are a pretty safe community, and I wanted it to stay that way. One of the things that I did here along the way when I was campaigning were cars coming into the community very late at night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, breaking into the residents' cars. And so I did make the request to the administrator to kind of see if the sheriff would alternate those schedules. And so we were able to get that done, and we have seen a reduction in the car break-ins. So I'm very pleased about that. And so right now we're in our budget season, and we're trying to maintain the current millage. We definitely don't want to put any additional burden on the residents. And so that's kind of what we're doing right now. In November, the residents will go to the polls, and they will have to vote on term limits. That's one of the things that the Charter Review Committee had been working on since last year. I was on that committee, but once I was voted in, I have to relinquish that seat. And so right now what will be on the ballot is a suggestion of 3 years. Right now we have to run every 2 years if we have an opponent. If not, and we want to remain in that seat, we are unopposed, so we continue to go. But what will be on that ballot in November of 2021 will be a 3-year term limit, and the voters will cast their vote, and hopefully we will have a better turnout. That is one of the things that I definitely would like to see, is a better turnout from the residents. And so I've been working with our Haverhill Baptist Church. It's one of the things that I do in my full-time job, is I do a lot of collaborations with churches, other nonprofits, and Haverhill Community Church was successful with speaking to the pastor to connect him with Palm Beach County Food Bank. And I understand that the food bank is coming in. There will be a schedule where they will set up right there on Haverhill at the church, and the community will have an opportunity, you know, to come in and receive bags of food. And that's one of the things that I do in my full-time job at NCCI. We have a collaboration with a number of churches, Friendship, St. Patrick, New Bethel, Tabernacle, Paint Chapel, and the American Legion. And those entities, they have the volunteers, they have the facilities. And so we kind of augment what they are already doing, and they're able to feed the homeless, the sick and the shut-in, and the community. And so that's really what it's all about. My desire to run for public office was and still is truly to serve. It is to serve, and that's what God has called us to do, is to serve and to be mindful of those who are without. And so that's kind of who I am and what I'm doing right now.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. That is beautiful. Now, let's get back to you wearing 2 or 3 hats. Number one, with a rash of mental problems, and because we are attached to a organization that is working hard to minimize some of this mental illness, to recognize it, get the medical help and the training, Sinceria 2000. We had a young lady, Cheryl Melvin, and her husband on last week. And this week in Bogertown, there was someone coming out of the drugstore or something down there, and the man had the knife not too far from the college, and the police officer had to kill him because he wouldn't drop the knife. Every week we are losing someone with mental illness. Next week which is the, I think, the 17th, next Saturday, up at Bethlehem Church on Crescent Street in Lake Park. We will feed 500 people or more and give out tennis shoes and other things for the kids going back to school. And the mental illness program will have flyers talking about mental illness. And on the 7th of August, we'll be in Belgrade to do the same thing, but this time we'll be having vaccine for all the people who doesn't have a vaccination for the pandemic. The county commissioner want us, to, not the county commissioner, the county administrator, Virginia Baker, want us to do that anywhere we can find a lot of people. She'll send a mobile van to do that. Now, I'm saying all these things to you. Is that one of the things that you need to consider in your city now with the mental illness and to make sure everybody got the vaccine? Go.
That's a great question. And I do, I'll just tell you that mental illness, mental health, mood disorders, it is a very complex issue. One of the things that I have read and heard about is a collaboration with police departments and mental health counselors and or providers teaming up and being deployed at the same time when there is one wielding a knife, wielding a gun. And that way it provides an opportunity for the person to be talked down and to save a life. That is an issue that has been stigmatized for so long, and it continues to be stigmatized. But I think we know that many individuals in our community have experienced trauma. And so they're dealing with the trauma. They don't always know how to cope with it, where to turn. And maybe they do know where to turn, but because of the stigma, if I go into this building, they're going to know I'm going in there for that reason. So one of the things that I would like to see is the Black Church providing more health, mental health, counseling, resources, tools, access. Because anyone can go into the church. You don't necessarily know why they're going into the church. The church has played a multi-purpose role for many, many years, and that is what I did my dissertation on, the Black Church using its social capital to reach the unchurched and the community. And one of the things that I already knew is that the church has done so many things, from the backpack, from the back to school, from feeding the community, which you just heard me say, and they are well-equipped and they're trusted. They have the social ability, the social capital within the church, and even probably the sororities and fraternities, they do too. They have a special bond within those organizations to be able to go out and impact this concern, this situation. And so what I would say is that it's not going to be where one organization or one entity is able to solve it. It is going to take a united front. And I do believe that the pairing up with counselors, mental health providers, with law enforcement is a must. Law enforcement's job is to serve and protect. The mental health piece, they bring a different dynamic. They see through a different lens. And so you need to have that on the scene. And so hopefully we'll have more those situations can be resolved without life being taken. And so that's kind of where I want to go with that.
Okay. Well, the reason why I brought all that up, because I think that everybody's elected official need to get involved. And you said it. It's a collaboration of everybody. It's like the Africans say, it takes a village to rear a child. It takes everybody to stop this. The law enforcement will not be able to do it by themselves. Now, you mentioned about the churches, which I think that somewhere down the line our churches have let us down because they don't go outside the building enough they need to go to and fro like Jesus was doing, up and down, and preach the gospel on the street. Now, you said that you were attached to some churches. Now, is there any way that we can get before, especially the Youth Recreation Association? This is where Artie and myself come in, and Steve. We would like to go and make a presentation for them to get involved more, because every week someone is being killed. Now, I'll give you an example. Week before last, on 27th Street near O Avenue in Riviera, that's over in Monroe Heights, a young lady got up in the morning to go to work. Right on the corner out there, she was assaulted, killed, and mutilated. That was terrible. They had a funeral 2 days ago. Now, we must get involved, because every day we're listening to that on TV, and there's a lot of things going on with the hurricanes and then the building falling on everybody, killing everybody down in Miami or something like that in the heat. But we must get out here and do something about humanity. Now, that's why we got Artie Williams on here, but he can come in and tell us, because MAMA was started many years ago because of murdering on the street. Mothers Against Murders Association. That's what MAMA stands for. Artie, chime in and tell us what you think about with the mental illness.
Well, I think the mental illness is very such a serious situation right now. I mean, it always has been. And majority of these murders that take place, it's the mind. They're not stable. For someone to go off and do the things that they do to other people proves it, that they're not stable. And each murder that we come across and dealing with the families that have to deal with these crimes, it makes a big difference. It takes a toll on them. So a lot of times we see signs of things happening, and as a family or as friends or whoever, we kind of ignore it. But a lot of times when these things are not just up and brought about out of the blue. There are a lot of situations where these people are unstable, and we have to pay more attention to the signs of things happening. We as a family sometimes know that a family member is going through some things and we ignore it. But you also have people like this guy in the grocery store. Obviously, he came in the store and he just felt the need to do something to some people, and he did it. But I'm sure somewhere down the line that he had some issues going on in his life that people just didn't pay attention to. So that's why having mental health education, having an outlet with people for them to come and to deal with these situations is very important. And Ms. Calloway, like you say, early in the years, we've had these things. The organization was founded on someone murdering somebody who was friends. Just snapped. My nephew was murdered by one of his friends. So these are things that we have to deal with, and we have to really try to get a handle on if we're going to help solve this problem.
Well, I need to ask you two or three more questions, because normally when someone is killed or die or something like that, MAMA will be one of the first organizations to be called for help. Now, explain that to the listening audience, how that works.
Okay. Well, what happens is 8 out of 10 times, Mothers Against Murder Association will be the one. As soon as there's a murder in our community or anywhere, actually, we deal with anywhere in the state, but mainly in Riviera and West Palm, as soon as something happens, the police department or someone from their organization gives us a call, and we attend the scene. And once we get there, we try to talk to the family, mainly the mother or the father who's there, but 8 out of 10 times is going to be the mother, and get information and try to get them to understand that these kinds of acts is what we can't tolerate, and try to bring some comfort to them. Because it's not so much what just happens. If people understand when a murder takes place, the person that's been murdered is gone. The people that he left behind is the ones going to be doing the grieving. Those people, mental state is just totally shot. You hear people right there at the scene when we go there. They're just ready to lose it, ready to die right there with them. They're right now, they can't think of anything but their loved ones out there laying on the ground. So what we try to do is to go in and bring comfort to the family. We have what we call our circle of healing meetings. So we get together with the families, and we invite about every other Thursday to a circle of healing meeting to help them cope with what they're going through, because mental illness just doesn't affect the ones that did the crime. It also affects the ones who's living through it. So we, as an organization, try to tackle that by engaging in these healing meetings with other members and other families that have lost someone, so they all know what it feels like. Because you can't just go in there and say, I understand what you're going through when you're not, have never went through it. So everybody's in these meetings have lost someone. So that's the first step, is to get them to understand and get them to some counseling. That's what we did.
Well, that's walking right down the alley that we're trying to go down and get to clean up. Wouldn't you think that this new organization, not new, it's only about a couple of years, but we just got new with it. We had three medical doctors on staff, pro bono. Wouldn't you think that now that when you get a call to mama, that somehow you ought to have somebody making a call to the mental illness agency in there, but they can do a lot of counseling because they are trained to pick up things that the regular person is not trained to do?
Yeah, I think that would be great. That would be great to collaborate with those kind of organizations, because it's never too much help. You know, when you got somebody that can really, sometimes they can, you know, see things that you can't see. So
well,
I think that's a great
idea,
and I think we'll do that.
Well, I think that when we meet with the group, which coming up Saturday, and then on the 7th, we're going to be in Belgrade. And that's one of the platforms that the gentleman, Kenny Funderburg, and all of them want. They want the medical situation with the shots for everybody. And what are we going to do about the mental illness? And how and where they can call. And when they see something, they want to say something. Now, Steve, you jump in there, Stevie.
Okay. Happy to. So first of all, I want to just say hello to Artie and to Dr. Johnson as well. But so I want to pose this and get your comments on this. I think that if we look at data or statistics going back to years ago, probably when I was a child, we won't find the level or the rate of mental illness in the black community that we do now, or, of course, the violence as well. So my suggestion and my question is that we've got to find a way to go back and to the root with our children and give them the kind of foundation that they used to have, that self-esteem, those values, and those things that allow them to grow up and not go into a world of violence or some of the mental illness that comes about later on. So I'd like to know, how do you all think that we can go back and give that foundation? Because I think if we give our children the foundation that they need, then, you know, we're not always going to be reacting to situations. Because right now, we have to react. So we react after someone with mental illness has committed a crime or done something else. You know, we react after someone has been murdered. But what can we do to help reestablish the foundation that our children used to have so that they would grow up healthy and whole and not move into this area of mental illness and violence? I'd like to get you all to comment on that, please.
Dr. Johnson. Are you there, Dr. Johnson?
I am here. I was commenting. I said that is a loaded question, but it's a great question. But it's not, the answer will never be one-dimensional. I think, number one, it starts at home, right?
Yes,
I think oftentimes
right.
we don't know what goes on in those homes. And as someone that was in the school system for a short period of time, I do know that sometimes they're in environments that aren't the best environment. And so when they come into the school system, we just have to surround them with the love, the guidance, the self-esteem, all that we can do to build them if they need to be built up, right? That needs to be there. In the church, the churches need to build them up. any after-school program. So we need to be mindful that, yes, in our community, sometimes there are in communities where perhaps there is a high level of crime or whatever the situation is, but just because you are in that environment doesn't mean that that has to be your portion. And so I think we have to be mindful as we look at the root cause, but what are some of the interventions that we can map out to help our children have that same foundation that they did. Growing up, my grandmother raised me, and it didn't take much to do right. All it really took was a look. So but the kids don't react to a look these days. That's all it took was a look. And so we know that sometimes parents are, sometimes they're maybe it's a single mom and maybe she's wearing two hats, right? Those kids
yes.
are very difficult. Don't know what the income is, but sometimes there's a lot of burdens. There are challenges that one has to overcome. And so we just need to be mindful as the systems are in place that are supposed to support single moms and those other things that come alongside. We just need to make certain that they are providing the whole family, really, because if the mom is not healthy, chances are that the kids may not be healthy either. And so I would just say that it is, again, it's not one-dimensional. We have the home, we have the school, we have the after-school programs, we have the churches, all those things have to be mindful of what does this child need to make to reach its full potential or to give it the best start in life.
Okay. Well, we're going to put some on your table because you part of your job, you're wearing two or three hats. We need to come before the council where the ministers and everybody will listen and have a person like a Steve White, who's a master educator, after school programs. I think that churches should go and get involved in that and stay on top of that. That should be a part of the daily recitation to get involved. Now, if we know that people working two and three jobs, and of course, sometime in the environment, but we are part of a community, we should be our brother's keeper. That's what the Bible teaches. We are brother's keeper. No, we are not doing what our brothers should do. We should be looking after everybody. Now, Steve brought up something that years ago, we didn't have all this violence in the black community because we had very good parents everywhere, our teachers, our neighbors, everybody looked after everybody. We got to go back and get to that. Not I got mine, you get yours. So is it any way that when you get back on your 8-to-5 job, you can make appointments that the Youth Recreation Association and Mental Health could come in and make a presentation to them?
I will certainly pass along the information of your desire to meet with those pastors of those churches that I mentioned. Absolutely, that can be done.
Well, that'll be great. And
thank you so very much. I think that everything, yes, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, thank you so very much. I think that everything that we're discussing just comes back, that ties back to community involvement and the spirit of service. And oftentimes we don't know what resources that are that we have in our community, especially within the city of Riviera Beach. So I don't know if any of you know if there's a place or a listing someplace that will list all of these services that are offered by the city so that, you know, maybe we can do something like a resource place or guide or something where people have one place to go.
That's beautiful. I think that Dr. Johnson said something about, she named 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 different churches and organizations that the name of the company that she works for. They have a conglomerate of people. I just think that we need to make a concerted effort about mental illness, number one. And we got to stop worrying about, oh, we turn it over to the police. We turn it over to the elected officials. We gotta be a group of people staying on the ball, asking for better service. And if we need to hire an extra person working in law enforcement that will feel the phone calls about something erratic going on out there, and they feel like this person is mentally off, I mean, they mostly say there's a person acting crazy or whatever, let's get on to that and take it serious, because the law says, well, we're not going to do anything until something happens. No, we got to be premature and to stay on top of it. That's how you do that. We got to put more on the elected officials to change some of the rules. That's why a lot of people don't see something, won't say nothing, because they don't think nothing's going to happen. Now, how you feel about that, Artie?
Well, that's actually true. I mean, that's just it. They wait till they react once it happens. And, you know, just like with the law enforcement, they always say, well, you call in and say, well, we can't do anything until they commit a crime. But at that time, it's too late. And here it is, you got two sides of a family that are going to be grieving, you know. So I think we have to have an organization or some place or that we can even talk with the city manager or whatever who we need to talk to say, well, we want all your resources, you know, the numbers and the people they can contact. And so we can put it out there. We can put it out there in the churches. They play a big part, you know. That's one of the captive audience that we have is our churches. So if they can have the information to pass along, you know, something said on it on their services, I think people will say, you know what, I'm in church. I might not want nobody to know, but I can get that number from my pastor. I do have a problem. So they can go in and take care of it. They don't have to feel bad about it.
That's beautiful. Okay, Steve.
Okay, I'm here. Yeah, no, I think that, of course, I have so much respect for what mothers against murderers are doing, and I've had a opportunity years ago to do a little brief work with them, so I have a lot of respect for what y'all are doing. And I just think that, you know, we have to keep doing what we are doing, and I still think, you know, if we find a way to get back to those root causes and then those root solutions. So at this point, I just, you know, again, I have a lot of respect for what both guests are doing, and I would just encourage you to just continue to move forward. And then, of course, whatever we can do under the umbrella of the Youth Recreation Association, then, you know, I'm in support of that.
Well, that's beautiful. What I need to give not a directive, but ask Dr. Johnson, that when you go back, you said you'll try to figure out a way to get us an audience, and let the Youth Recreation be the forerunners to go and say it, because we are free agents. We don't have to worry about somebody going to fire us. No, they can't fire Artie. They can't fire me. They can't fire Steve, and they definitely can't fire Ann. This is our choice, to fight for the least, the lost, and the left out. We're not going to stop that. But right now, we are behind with mental illness. The more I delve in this with the people we are involved in, we are putting a lot of emphasis on it. And we got to tap a lot of agencies for funds, because we need to. When we saw the doctors, and they're doing it pro bono, that's not going to last all the time. We must raise funds to go and get people out there. See, because there's a thing we're doing in Belgrade on the 7th of next month. We're going to feed 2,000 or 3,000 people. So people are not going to come out there without any food or music or something like that to listen to you talk about mental illness or any other thing. Food, bring them. Music, keep them. And now you can put your tables out there with your literature and have people speaking about that. And if we don't do something about mental illness and getting those extra vaccine to people, we're going to be losing a lot of people, and we got to do better. And
yes, well, we're going to go ahead and prepare to wrap up. We've already gone over a little bit, I want to just remind all of our listeners that you're listening to hashtag I Am Riviera Beach with Councilwoman Dr. Teresa Johnson and, of course, calling the activist Artie Williams and our co-host Dan Calloway and Steve White. And we just want to remind all of us that as we're discussing the power of education of mental health, I think that we can all do a little bit better just by learning the signs. And so, you know, Dr. Johnson and also Artie, whatever we can do to help support your efforts, you know, please don't hesitate to let us know. But then again, like Dan is saying, you know, we really need to make sure that we can have the appointment to begin to connect those dots with others. So if we can go ahead and maybe everybody just give your closing comments, then we can share that with our audience.
Dr. Johnson, your closing comment?
Yes. Okay. Thank you again for inviting me on. I think this is a very important topic. I would like to let you know that I am a part of the Northwest Community Health Alliance. We are a federally approved look-alike clinic, and we are providing mental health counseling. It's inside of a building where Bridget has their office. They see families. They put on youth programs, so you don't know. If you're coming in there for counseling, you would never know it. And so I wanted to let your audience know that you don't necessarily need to live in the Northwest. You don't necessarily need to have insurance. If you know someone that is in need of counseling or even just primary care services, go ahead and come on. The office, the clinic is open Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 until 5. It's located at 801 H Street, right on the corner of Division and H Street, UB Kinsley Educational Center. Thank you again for allowing me to come on and to share this information with your audience.
Adi?
Yes, I just want to, again, thank you also for having me on. I just want to say, as a single person, we can't do this, but as a team, we can. So we want to just implore everyone to go out and tell someone and to get them on our team. Anybody we know that we can, even the churches, the schools, anybody we can speak to help bring awareness to this very important topic, we should do that. And I'm going to continue to do what we do at MOM and the Youth Recreation Association. I'm sure we'll make some strides. Thank you.
Thank you both. You've been tremendous. And I sign off to our great leader, Ann McNeil, and Steve. I'm finished.
All right, Steve. Any closing comments, Steve?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I think, you know, Mr. Calloway said something earlier about, you know, it takes a village, and I think that's what our guests are indicating, that it takes all of these different approaches to get to a common solution. But I would say to everybody that's listening, the thing is that when resources are made available, we have to take advantage of it. You know, it's like someone said, you know, that knowledge is power, but really knowledge is not power until you use it. So when you have resources that can help, I would just encourage us to take advantage of the resources that's been talked about today. MAMA is a great resource. The work that's being done in the Northwest community that serves more than just the Northwest community, those are great resources, and so we have to take advantage of it.
Thank you. Okay, Ann, I'm finished.
All right, Dan. Everybody, thank you so very much for listening to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach with our phenomenal guests, Dr. Teresa Johnson, Artie Williams, our co-host Dan Calloway, Steve White, and, of course, myself. And we will see all of you next week for another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Please comment, like, and share the show. Everybody have a good day, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.